This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad. On the week where there's warnings going out in the UK, they're all going to die over there because it's going to be too hot for them, bless them. This is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the glorious city of Poprad, which is why we call it Postcard from Poprad. And if you're new to the show, that's the east of Slovakia, the pretty bit. And if you come over, you can always come to the studio. We welcome you. We've got quite a lot of people here next week, actually, as it goes. And then towards the end of August, you'll come in. You're all coming here. I'm going to be surrounded by Brits. It's going to be horrible. Over in the zit of the nose of Europe, it's Lee Banks.
Hello.
Was that it?
Well, it was. No, all right then. Eric.
What?
What is this great blazing orb that hovers over me? Me and my fellow countrymen cower before its fiery face. Yeah, that's what I was trying to avoid doing.
You're doing it now. We are trying to get hold of Rachel down in Queensland, but she's not in Queensland now, I don't think.
And she's travelling.
She's travelling along. She was on Facebook this morning, but a couple of times she's appeared and then disappeared. So maybe the internet connection's not caught up with her, or Rob's driving too fast, so it can't catch up. This is your alternative sideways look at the news with us lot over here. And hello to everybody in Talk Radio X and everywhere else. Look on the website, rti.fm, to find absolutely everywhere where we can be found, because that's the quickest way, because we've got so much on the programme this week, I don't think we're going to get through all of it, that is for sure. We start off with the sad news of the week, as always. A military funeral for drummer boy Lee Rigby is to take place in Greater Manchester on the 12th of July, which is rather a sad day. But I think they kind of want to keep it military, but by the same token, quite a private affair, Lee.
I think so, and I think that's showing due respect to... You see, his life is inexorably linked with the military, obviously, and his dreadful death is linked in so many ways to all sorts of aspects of English life, but he's also a family man. Mm. And I think this is a way of doing things with dignity, and it is a tragedy, and it's a very sad day for Britain, as well as it is for his family, but let's hope we give him a good... proper send-off.
Absolutely. Piers Brosnan has been paying tribute to his daughter Charlotte, who has died of cancer at the age of just 41. That don't seem fair, does it?
It isn't, and also I would never say that Piers Brosnan was the greatest actor Ireland's ever produced, but he's been around for a long time, and his life has been marred by terrible tragedies all the way through, and his first wife...
Cassandra.
That's it, yeah. She died of the same thing, of ovarian cancer. Mm. It's a terrible thing. He's 60 years old now, and all right, we all have to face up to things in our lives, and but I think he's had to face up to a lot of success and a lot of tragedy.
Indeed so. Also this week, American jazz pianist Paul Smith has gone upstairs at the grand old age of 91. That's a bit fairer. And he was a guy who recorded with just about everybody, I think, over his time. The late, great Dizzy Gillespie, Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby's alongside, I don't know, Frank Sinatra in my book, as a genuine entertainer. And he will be sadly missed, Paul Smith. Lovely guy, actually. Lovely man.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is true. Yeah, Sammy Davis Jr., Doris Day, he performed with everybody, if you forgive the phraseology.
Yeah. And a man who, I don't know, actually. Well, it definitely changed my world dramatically. funnily enough now, I'm not using him as much anymore because I'm into touchscreen computing. Doug Engelbert has died at the age of 88. The man who developed tools in the 1960s, you know, genuine ornamentally type stuff to some degree, but then went on to create the mouse.
He invented the mouse.
The one thing that changed computing like there was no tomorrow. Really did.
It's rumoured that he's having a drag-and-drop funeral.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Very good. But it has to be said, the original computers that didn't have a mouse with them were awful things to, I don't know, sort of drive around. But once you put a mouse in there, oh, my word. Thank you so much, Doug. You're a gentleman and a scholar. That's all I can say. Irish, this is really sad, actually. The
this
Irish
is
singer and actress...
Isn't it?
Yeah, Bernie Noland has died at the age of 52 after a continual battle against cancer. She thought she was clear at one point in 2010, but it's come back again, spread all over her body. And she passed away peacefully a couple of days ago with her family around her. And she was just an all-round nice egg, wasn't she?
She was. Excuse me. Excuse me.
I'm going to have to buy you a cough button.
I think you are. I'll buy me a new throat. I've met her a couple of times.
You have name-dropped her before, you know.
Have I?
Yes.
Well, I did, yeah, and she was genuinely a nice... The whole of the family, actually, were a really nice family. It was when I worked in Manchester on the Sun. Mm. Obviously, they lived in Blackpool, so they were the first port of call for many a story. They were just a good family, and it is a tragedy. It's a tragedy at that age for anybody to go, really.
Of course,
isn't it?
Absolutely. And finally, this week on the Real Gone Kids, Enter the Dragon actor Jim Kelly has died at the age of 68. And he did those amazing fight scenes as Williams in the 1973 classic. And of course, then we came along to the musical side with Everybody's Gone Kung Fu Fighting, Hey Ho. And everybody started to go to taekwondo and karate and. I mean, he must have been really good for the martial arts in those days. Well, I remember I started.
Well, who did he play? Who did you say he played?
He played Williams in the 1973 classic, Enter the Dragon.
I can't place him in the films. I know the name, but I can't place him in the films.
Yeah, he did. He did all those sort of oddball one-liners.
Oh, I.
And he was very much into all the fight scenes that were in there as well. And I remember it. Because you had sort of like Bruce Lee around at the same time, and you got all these iconic films coming out, and Enter the Dragon was the iconic film, and they used parts of it for, I'm sure, the original video that was alongside Kung Fu Fighting, the song.
Oh, right. Yeah. You see, things like this, though, I suppose I'm. This is the serious side to my nature, and sometimes I get so depressed. I like our section, Real Gone Kids, because I think it's right to mark the passing, whether we do it in a joke or for a laugh or whatever, just to mark the passing of people.
Yeah.
But really, when you look at people like Jim Kelly, everybody we've mentioned, they've all at least made their mark on the world before they've moved on to whatever is beyond.
Yeah,
and that's what we should all do. We should all strive to make our mark on the world.
Oh dear,
what?
What have we done then?
Nothing. That's why I've just said we've got to strive to do something.
Well, we haven't done anything, Lee. What the hell are we going to do now? We haven't got much time left.
I've been pregnant sometimes.
Have you? Yeah.
I've left the pattern of tiny feet.
No, you've been pregnant. No, that's a euphemism for investment in a brewery.
That's a euphemism for going on the run. I've kept a few breweries going.
Yeah.
If you think, really, let me think, what have I done with my life? Mm-hmm. I suppose I've been a grand wastrel, and what a wonderful thing to be able to say you've done. You have wasted your life, Lee G. Banks.
Yeah.
What a good way to go.
Well, I have to say, I've been spoilt as hell.
Only in the looks department.
No, I have. I've been so spoilt.
In what way?
Meeting people I shouldn't meet. Going to places I should never go to.
Yeah.
Chatting with people I should never really get to chat with. Because when you consider a boy from tiny village in farming community in Bedfordshire, more recently ends up in Parliament. Next week, I'm talking to a Senate committee in the White House.
Right.
Then I've got lots of people coming around me that I'm not allowed to talk about later on in the week. Yeah. But I can talk about them after they've gone, if you follow my logic.
I do.
You do. I've travelled most of the world and got paid while I'm doing it, which is kind of cool. And when you look at the people I've got in my phone book, which I shouldn't really have, they're all really well-known people, and yet I can just phone them up and go, hello, it's me. And they go, hello, how are you? And you just sort of chat.
And to a man, they all say, don't they, Eric, when you phone up, they all say, who?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, all right, then, if we show it off, in my wasted life, ladies and
gentlemen. Notice I did not name-drop one person.
And I'm not going to name drop them either, but in my wasted life. No, actually, when you think, being serious, our lives have been, in a way, star-crossed. Because we've both travelled.
Yeah.
And we've both met famous people because of the jobs we do.
Yeah.
And we've both had... Yeah, we have had a good life. And I suppose, in our small way, we have made a mark on the world. What I'm proud of, I suppose, is, and I'm sure you feel the same, are your children.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's only your children you leave to this world,
yeah,
then that's a good thing, as long as they behave.
Well, yes. And
you
I think
don't leave naughty children, do you?
No. And I think there are other things that stand out for me, certainly. Why the hell did we get onto this?
Because we got depressed because we were talking about all dead people.
I mean, I think one of the funniest things for me was there was this group of people. And I can say this now because there's nobody there to cause any problems for. Many years ago, and on, believe it or not, on Christmas Day, people in the British Telecom, a lot of them have to work because, you know, like radio stations, for years and years and years, I was always working on Christmas Day. And one Christmas, the guys at Goon Hilly decided it would be a bit of fun for them to transmit a signal over a satellite to a hut about 500 yards away so that the families of those that were working could actually see what the guys were doing. And even though they were on call and had to be there, they didn't have to work. And so they thought, oh, it'd be fun. We'll send the signal up to the satellite, send it down to the receiving hut. The problem was other people could see it. And funnily enough, I faxed, in those days, I faxed from home down to Goon Hilly and said hello to the guys and said, hey, careful, lads, we're watching you. Behave yourselves, as a joke.
What do you watch? What do you mean? How could you watch the signal?
Well, because I'd got one of those big satellite dishes that moved all from left to right, up and down and all sorts.
Oh, I see. So you captured it.
Yeah.
And just, I understand.
And just for fun, I'd heard about this unofficial broadcast from an unofficial source and was invited to look. And do you know what happened? Some old duffer complained to the regulator and said, British Telecom were broadcasting without a licence. That's illegal. And BT got hauled over the coals for it.
And they, joking?
No, I'm not joking. I'm deadly serious. They got into huge trouble for it because BT were then not allowed to broadcast under one of the old rules as was. So we came up with a stunt.
You came up with a what?
A stunt, a very cunning stunt, as it goes.
That's getting really dangerous.
Right, whereby British Telecom, bless them, they took a corporate subscription to a newsletter I wrote.
Right.
And with that money, I applied to the regulator for a television broadcast licence, a commercial one. And the purpose of this was to broadcast from exactly the same place that this old fool had complained about before, legally. Right. So I then explained it to the Performing Rights Society people, and they said, oh, that's terrible. I said, I know. And they said, tell you what, we'll give you a license to play any music you want for the entire weekend for £10. So I went,
right.
Yeah, okay. And then we asked all the other people that we had to get things for, and everybody donated everything. In fact, Jonathan Miles, who now works on the BBC, then Radio Luxembourg, he came along to be co-presenter in a Thunderbird costume. Right. We had all sorts of people donating camera equipment. We had a BBC floor manager come down, Steve, to help us out. We had makeup artists from ITV, everything. And you'll never believe what happened. This no. old fool complained that the British Telecom are broadcasting again, to which, of course, Ofcom had to tell him, well, it wasn't Ofcom then, Ofcom had to say to him, don't be stupid, that was a licensed television broadcast by TESUG, the European Satellite User Group. And for me, that was fun.
Yeah, that's because right, I understand that.
The
that's
stupidity
good.
Of the idiots that complain is beyond belief. For me, that's a good mark. And the second one was, because everybody knows this now, because they told everybody on the television years ago, that when my eldest daughter was born, she had an open heart problem. There wasn't equipment in the hospital where she was. And so we started a kind of fund foundation thing to raise the money so that the hospital could buy the equipment so that neither parent would have to suffer what we went through. So I thought to myself, there's got to be a way to have some fun with this. Because everybody said, why don't you get a month's licence, Eric, and have a radio station in the area and put adverts on it and get all the money and give it to the charity? I said, what a wonderful idea. So what I did was I applied for a licence to the Radio Authority under the name of Radio for New Infants. Makes sense, right. Doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Abbreviated to RNI, which they also agreed to. But at which point we then used every jingle and musical soundtrack from the pirate station Radio Nordsee International from the 70s. Which, of course, British Telecom used to jam, as did the British government. That appeals to my sense of humour.
It does. That's a good thing. I suppose in my life, the good thing, there are, yeah, I suppose journalists get knocked a lot, like, you know, and we're not journalists. Well, I get knocked on this show all the time for being a journalist.
No, you're just the butt of jokes.
That's right, I'm just a big butt. Yeah.
I know that. You're supposed to say I resemble that remark.
But I don't.
He's been on a diet.
But no, there were some things that, looking back over my past, that have been good things. The awful tragedy back in 1979, I think it was, when I was a very, very, very young rookie journalist, when Woolworths burnt down in the centre of Manchester, a lot of people were trapped in there. And the major problem was that the store, quite rightly at the time, was filled with all sorts of plastic and furniture filled with foam and things like that. And that really was what killed the people. It was like, it became like this awful inferno of chemicals and terrible, almost
dense
like
smoke.
But the plastic was like napalm. I actually, just by dint of circumstances, was one of the first journalists on the scene. And it was horrendous because people were actually jumping out of the windows of the building, and it was just, people were hanging there, and it was just awful. But because of that story, we actually and it was as I say, I was the first day I was working on the Sun, and we actually got the introduction of the kite mark and
nice one,
yeah, and these things like that that throughout my journalistic career, like for the first investigation into bullying in schools, this again was a horrendous thing. Just by dint of circumstances, was there when a young boy threw himself off a multi-story car park and obviously died. And I was there, and through the story that we did, the first major investigation into bullying into schools was started. And that's ongoing today, and it changed the whole face of the way schools are operated and looked at. And I suppose if you look at it in that way, we have made our mark on the world. But is that a better mark on the world than, say, somebody like Piers Brosnan or somebody? What we're talking about there, we're talking about garnering fame through their artistic ability. And you know, that in a way, I suppose, is a good thing. But yeah, I think both of us, in our own ways, through
do you know, that's really funny. Sorry, because recently our chairman Yang said to me, do you know what he said? I've been looking at you two for ages. So I've gone...
It's two of you now, is there?
I've gone, uek, Dudley Uek. I said, why? And he said, do you know, the amount of times you do stuff on RTI for European citizens, why don't you talk about it? I said, because, well, it's a bit like the bloke who walks into... I think my phone's about to ring. No, don't, please. The guy who walks into the pub, gets somebody else to buy him a drink, and then brags about giving 50 pence to charity.
Yeah, I know.
It's that kind of thing. And he said, no. He said, I'm having no more of it. He said, you write it all down. I'll do it then. So I went, oh heck, best do that then. And he's put this brochure together, and even I was blinking surprised. The amount of stuff that we've done in the last couple of years. But there you go. Let's not do any more. Yeah, anyway.
Well, that's enough about us, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
We must ask the ladies and gentlemen what they think about us.
No, because we can't broadcast any of that. we have a safety warning for the UK, seriously. Emergency service advise that warm weather could be a major problem starting this weekend. The temperature's set to go really, really high. It's going to be something unprecedented almost.
Aren't we pathetic?
I know. It's even got to the point where the RNLI have started to worry because school holidays turning up. They've got some advice going out to lifeguards, all sorts of things. The flags are being rechecked and so on and so forth. And the RNLI, something seriously, have actually worked with the Met Office to produce a video about staying safe on the beach. It's that worrying to people. Because
yeah, but that's just Britain, isn't it? We're just ridiculous. We are the most stupid nation in the world. If it rains, we worry about... We run around like headless chickens going, oh, no, it's raining. We'll all drown. And then it gets sunny. We run around going, oh, it's sunny. Oh, we'll all drown. What have we got this fear of weather for? All we talk about is weather. It's ridiculous. It's just going to be a bit warm. We're going to get brown and suntanned, you stupid people.
Do you know what? That is really funny because everywhere around Europe...
All right.
Everywhere around Europe, there is a weather channel. On the telly. And the one place you think it would last is the UK, where there was a weather channel and it didn't make any money.
Well, that's because we all talk about it. We don't need a channel to tell us about it.
Exactly. Anyway, just be safe out there. Brit's luggage is worth over $2,500, according to some research that's just come out, which I think was from LV, the insurance company. It was. No surprises there then.
Well, lots of vouchers.
It's up your part of the world, you know.
LV, it's up my what?
Up your part of the world.
What is?
LV Insurance.
Never heard of them.
Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
I bet you insured the hubcaps.
I think it's Liverpool and Victoria. I can't remember. Anyway, they've got this new thing out which claims that people are now packing their cases with over £2,500 worth in sterling of goods.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Why?
What are they taking with them?
Camera. Laptop. Yeah. iPad, I suppose. If they're stupid. I mean, if they're very stupid.
Excuse me. I took my iPad with me.
If they're very stupid, they'll take a Kindle.
A Kindle?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take them on. You can set the plane on fire.
They're ridiculous things, they are. Yeah, I suppose with all the goodies that you take, you know, if there's two of you going, two cameras, that can easily be £2,000.
It's ridiculous, but my good wife and I went to America, as I might have mentioned in the past, and we took two suitcases for however long we were there, 3 weeks. I took two pairs of jeans, one pair of shorts, so I could reveal my gorgeous legs, and some shirts, and that was it. And we took the iPad so we could stay in touch with people over the seas and continue doing postcard from Poprad and things like that.
Yeah.
And which never happened. And I took probably the whole value of our luggage was about £3.
Right. Well, so I've got a top tip for everybody.
Don't take so much stuff with you.
Well,
it's stupid.
I mean, I never pack in my... I mean, I have to take tablets every day because I'm asthmatic, so that's just the way it goes. And I've now got with the tablet that I use, for computing tablet, to one of these really tiny bags that you can see in computer shops, where I can put my pad, some bits and bobs, my tablets, an inhaler, da-di-da, that goes on the plane with me. I don't put it in my suitcase to get it nicked.
Well, that's right, that's right. You know what interests me on this? Are you if we take $2,500 worth of stuff, does that mean a couple, or would that be $5,000 for two of you went?
Well, it's per suitcase, apparently.
So you're taking $5,000. Do you reckon you're insured for that much? Probably. I reckon you're not.
I doubt it very much indeed. Yeah. I doubt it very much indeed. But the daft thing is, I genuinely don't understand why you put high-value goods, like a laptop, tablet or whatever, in the hold of a plane. Nah. I would rather keep hold of it in my little hand and go through and get to the airport 10 minutes early, so I can go through them checking everything through, and then when they undo my bag, they go, "Oh my god!" And because there's so much stuff in there and cables and wires. Because I take a mini office with me, and I do fly quite a lot, in real terms, I suppose. And I do take all my medication in the same bag, and they have to sort of take it all out, and they go, "Oh, right, yeah, okay." And you can see their faces going, "Oh, no, got another one here." And then you'll get to the bit, and this is my other top tip for flying. Buy some elasticated trousers.
Then some elastic trousers?
Yes, you can go and buy what look like office trousers now.
They're right. Called colostomy bags.
No, they're not. That you can genuinely buy them, and instead of you having the indignity and time waste of taking your belt off, you can buy elasticated waist trousers, which don't fall down like jeans do, and you don't have to take your belt off.
That's ridiculous. Only fat people wear trousers with elasticated waistbands.
No, it just stops you having to wear a belt.
It does, and it stops your belly hanging over, so you've got a big fat muffin top.
No, it's just quicker.
That's the only reason for wearing those. I think it looks quite sexy walking around with holding your pants up at the back and front with no shoe holes. You know what I went through? Holes in me socks. Andrew was embarrassed because I kept saying it was not my fault. She's the one who buys me socks. She's the one who should darn them.
You're right. So basically you were going over as a sort of religious bloke with holy socks.
I'm not laughing at that.
I know it was. But anyway, that's what they reckon. They reckon $2,500 a suitcase. And funnily enough, I watched last night, I can't remember what channel it was on, but anyway, there's this thing where they sell off luggage in what goes into storage isn't reclaimed.
Yeah.
And these guys are spending like $1,000 buying these suitcases in the States.
Yeah.
And he, you know, one suitcase, he genuinely got a couple of cameras and got his investment back straight away as second-hand cameras.
It's been done for decades over here in Britain.
Yeah.
And they're actually advertised in the paper. You know something else that really annoys me about aeroplanes?
I'll tell you what is going to annoy you.
Go on.
It's the end of part one. See you in part two, boys and girls.
Bye.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.